This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I'd not to quote Rain Man, but I'm an excellent driver.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You know what? He used to get so angry when we worked in Bristol. I used to drive with my foot on the dashboard.
Oh, I know.
Earlier on the show, Chiefs General Manager Brett Veach, Ravens linebacker Patrick Queen. Still to come, NFL Network analyst Steve Mariucci. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Oh, my God. Steve Mariucci just told a story that I'm so glad I finally got him to tell on the air about him and Steve Young. I guess we're now required to get Steve Young on this program.
I think so, yeah.
Split, but long story short, you've got to hear that story. If you missed it, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. We'll tweet it out as well, at Rich Eisen Show. It's now out, and it's fantastic. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We've got a wide-open hour. We've got What's More Likely. We've got TJ's big-ass grab bag. Chris Brockman back here on the program after a week-long absence. TJ Jefferson, where he is as well.
No.
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts is out today, so Jay Felly is sitting in his spot. Good to see you right where you are. It was a fun last 3 days with Susie Schuster, who was in Brockman's chair. It was just a blast. And I say that even, you know, I'm so lucky that I get to have my wife, hang out with us. Just a ton of fun. And I say that even though it was a great morning commute today.
Got to come at your own pace.
Oh, my gosh. The number of people that have talked to me about that conversation that we had about.
I text you like after the first day and I told you that. People love it.
Well, at any rate, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. So, when we were guessing the first game of the season, what would be the first game of the season, looking at the Rams' opponents in advance of the schedule release, guessing which matchup would delight fans and be a great way for the season to begin? And also make the television partners happy, right? Because you give one game to the NBC, that means Fox or CBS or ESPN doesn't get it, right? So that's part of putting together an NFL schedule. It's very difficult. There's so many different things that go into it. The television partners, what will make them happy, and what would be a great game on Thanksgiving, and now there's a triple header on Christmas Day that everyone will love except for anybody associated with the NBA. Another aspect of putting the schedule together that's so difficult is because I had Mike North of the broadcast department, and he and the rest of his team, along with Howard Katz, puts together this schedule. It's so difficult. 120,000 different schedules generated by the league's supercomputer. They analyze yes, no, maybe about all the different aspects of the schedule, and then they narrow it down to 350 and then down to one, and then present it to Roger Goodell, and he gives it to Checkmark. And part of the things that go into the difficulty is the stadiums are, like tonight, it's SoFi. Paul McCartney's playing there tonight.
That's right.
So what if Paul McCartney wanted to, you know, his tour was during the football season? Mm-hmm. What does that mean for the Rams and the Chargers? Elton John is touring.
Oh, yeah.
Four NFL stadiums Elton John is playing in his final tour this fall. That created a problem. Same with Lady Gaga. Bad Bunny, according to Mike North, created an issue. Who's the person from the NFL that's got to explain to Roger Goodell about Bad Bunny? You know, and so I guess it's Mike North. But you put it all together, and they come up with their number one schedule, and it's Bills at Rams. That's the game that they chose. That was the first blush thought about it. Once the Super Bowl is over, I think we talked about it the day after the Super Bowl was over, and we said, okay, Rams are now going to be hosting the Super Bowl, the opener of 2022. Let's take a look at their opponents. Who do you think it can be? This was just 3 weeks after the Bills and the Chiefs played one of the most amazing playoff games we've ever seen. And we said Bills at Rams, even though the Cowboys were on the schedule. And I'm like, you cannot put a team in the position of opening the season in the home of the Super Bowl champs as they raise the banner in the stadium that they normally play in because they won the Super Bowl there too. You can't give that assignment to the same team 2 years in a row. You just can't.
Right.
Makes sense. Matter how popular the Cowboys are.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Not fair.
And then Russell Wilson got traded to Denver, and you said, hey, hold your horses. Denver's on the Rams schedule. Yeah. I'm like, that's it.
That would have been
that's
a good one.
Russell Wilson's first game as a Bronco is in front of the entire country. Yeah. That makes sense. Whole country gets to get an eye of what Russell looks like in orange or that Bronco helmet after 10 years in Seattle. And I thought that would be it. Then, a few days ago, as their piecemeal morsel announcing the schedule, that's the middle game of the Christmas triple header, right. Here in Los Angeles, Denver at the Rams, Christmas Day. So when are they going to play Denver at Seattle is a question that you have going in. That was my number one game on Wednesday. I did that piece. You may have missed it. You were out. Suze was sitting there and we were all talking about it. And the top 10 games I'm looking forward to seeing get scheduled. Number one was Russell at Seattle. I can't believe that they chose Russell at Seattle to be the first week of the season.
Boom.
Now, it's big because it's the first Monday night game of the season. Buck and Aikman now in the Monday Night Football booth. And there's a lot of curiosity factor, clearly. But Russ at Seattle, week one. It starts with Bills and Rams. And then Cowboys-Bucks is the first Sunday night game.
Oh. Again.
Just like last year, it was the first game of the season last year, period. But that was in Tampa. This is in the Jones Mahal, and Brady is going to get his first look close up, knowing that he's a Fox broadcaster of the place where he's going to be broadcasting most of his games as a Fox broadcaster in that building.
I might go to that game.
You
should. Go for it.
You should go. Brady's 6-0 against Dallas.
You've come back from that stadium for a Monday show after being at an event there on a Sunday. You did that for WrestleMania.
This is true.
Go for it, brother.
You should do that.
So, and all I'll say is this. Clearly, we'll be all eyes peeled on that game. Russ in Seattle is off the charts in terms of interest of him returning there. But I feel for him, man. I know we just had Steve Mariucci last hour, and he was saying, you know, you got to play it sometime. And you heard Brett Veach in hour number one. I'm like, man, you start three of your first four on the road, and then you've got a three-game road stretch. You're one of only four teams that have to play three straight in a road, and that's going to be in December. And he's saying, oh, you know what, we just know we got to play these teams. Now we just know when we play him. You got to play him when you play him. And I'm sure Russ will say that when he's in front of a microphone and he comments on the fact that he's got to go back to Seattle right off the bat. But that is a game that is filled with all sorts of emotion for him. And he can handle the emotion, I understand. But it is going to be filled with him talking on his Wednesday media session about going back to Seattle. I mean, just imagine what it was like last year for Brady going back to New England. Nothing will be as intense as that. The only thing that we've ever seen that's as close to that was when Favre went back to Green Bay and when Peyton went back to Indianapolis, when Montana went back to Candlestick. And the reason why I bring up those names in relation to this is because Russell Wilson joins that quartet as the only quarterbacks to face a team that he's won 100 games with. Those are the only five quarterbacks that have ever won 100 games with a team and then went back and faced that team as a member of another team. Nobody's ever done that. In the case of Peyton and Brady and Favre and Montana, they all had a full year with their new team before having to go back to their old place of business. Russell won't even have a full game. He won't even have a full quarter. unless you count whatever preseason he plays.
He's not going to play much preseason.
I mean, with a new coach, a new system, a new place, a new setup, a new everything, his first road trip, his first everything is going to have to be countenanced and approached by him in Seattle. And it's just like, that has zero chill to it. And I'm wondering what he thinks. Maybe he's sitting there, at least I get it out of the way. It's done, and I'm not going to sit there.
That's kind of what
I
think.
But they take everything week to week in this league. It's not like he's going to be playing in week one thinking, well, in week 10, I'm going to have to go back to Seattle. He'll face that when he gets to it. It's not like Brady when he took on the Cowboys in week one last year. It was like, in 3 weeks' time, it's going to be insane for me. No, they all compartmentalize everything week to week. But the first week, for anybody, after winning 100 games in another franchise, their first game with that new team, it's going to be an out-of-body experience to begin with. And then on top of it, the visitors' locker room in front of the 12s? I'm like, wow. ESPN got to be over the moon. Buck and Aikman last night when I talked to them on the schedule show, of course they're excited about it. And all fans are just going to be like, "This, what's this going to be like?" But for Russ, it's going to take all of his focus, all of his world-famous compartmentalizing. And when game starts, I'm sure he's going to be in the middle of it, but he even felt weird watching Brady back in New England in quarter three of that game. It just was weird from start to finish. And I'm just wondering what it's going to be like for him. I was stunned that they did that week one.
I actually think it's a great thing for him. It's a great thing for the Broncos, too. Get this big distraction out of the way. Also, Seattle, they're going to be in the running for the number one pick next year. We don't know who their quarterback is. Pete Carroll, does he have 1 foot out? Russell Wilson seemed like he had a couple feet out for the last couple of years.
I don't know, brother.
I think that game's going to be a blowout, and it's going to be great for Denver.
You know what? The other person I feel for in this one is...
whoever's quarterbacking Seattle?
Drew Luck.
Do we know that's going to be him?
Well, I'm just saying.
It could be Geno Smith.
It's Drew Locke's revenge game completely, totally blown up. That was going to be no matter when you play it. But it's wild. His first game's against his former team, against Russ, the pressure. You got to win this one. Watch, Kenny Walker is going to run all over the place.
Maybe,
he's going to run all over Denver's defense. And week one, anything can happen. And he's just... he's going to want to come in to Seattle with his team and a big head of steam, and he's gotten everything controlled on his offense, and he's gotten so much under his belt, and the schedule makers are like, nah.
What if it's Baker Mayfield versus Russell Wilson? We have no idea who's going to be quarterbacking that team.
It's going to be a big game no matter what. I was just surprised, like, right out of the gate, they're doing that one. Yeah. Like, with so many different games that ESPN could have, and even on a Monday night schedule that is loaded.
Also, the other thing kind of looming over this too, Rich, Denver's going to have new ownership. We don't know who's going to be running that team. So there's just so much going into it.
Also, Chris, I feel like excited. Maybe the biggest story here is the media won't have the ability to make such a big deal about this game if it did land in week 7 or 8. Yeah. Then you'd have everything pointing to this, and now
the playoff implications. Yeah. What does this mean for the standings?
Now it's over. It's done with.
And you want to talk about bookends? You take a look at the Seattle schedule. It's week one. They start at home. By the way, Russ has only started 3 seasons in Seattle. He always started on the road more than not.
Road, yeah.
So now he's the road team. He's finally in Seattle. He's the road team. Week one, Seattle starts at home. It's Russ. Week 18, final game of the season for the Seahawks at home. That's when Bobby Wagner's showing up with the Rams. So bookend, big time reunion games for the Seahawks, week 1 and week 18 in front of the 12s.
That's cool.
That's the way they wound up scheduling that. We'll take a break here. We'll get to what's more likely, TJ's big ass grab bag. When we come back, there's a couple other games that I was looking forward to seeing get scheduled. I'm going to hit those with you when we come back, now that we know they are scheduled, including one that I thought was really fascinating as to when it got scheduled and what time as well. And so that's coming up. And then also another game that I was concerned, another schedule I was concerned about the suspension for one of the players. And I think you can kind of guess who, but I'm done trying to tease this thing. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Before we do, I want to talk about the Callaway Rogue ST driver, the most stable driver, fastest driver that Callaway has ever put together. It's built to completely bomb it. And whenever you swing this big dog, you know it is barking. Absolutely. Most golfers are going to fit into one of the four driver models. It's the Rogue ST Max. The incredible combination of distance and forgiveness is what I like about it. The Max D is a dedicated draw model for players who want more shot shape correction. That's not me, I'll tell you that. You want more low spin, more stronger trajectory, neutral ball flight? The Max LS is the stick for you. For the true players out there, the Rogue ST Triple Diamond LS is the compact low spin head that the tour players absolutely adore. That's why you see it in so many big-time players' bags. Callaway has thought through every aspect of speed, so all you've got to do is go Rogue. Find your Rogue ST driver at callawaygolf.com/go-rogue. 844-204-RICH, what's more likely, coming up.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Back on our terrestrial radio outfit, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Okay, so on my top 10 games that I was looking forward to seeing more than anything else, obviously, number one, we already hit that. When looking forward to not only seeing played, but to know when they're going to be played. Two of my top three was Rams at Seahawks and Russ at Seahawks. The same day, the Seahawks traded away Russell Wilson to Denver. We learned that Bobby Wagner was getting cut. He wound up with the Rams. So it's week one, Russ at Seahawks. Week 18, bookends, and the Seahawks schedule. It's Rams and Bobby Wagner at the Seahawks. Another game that I was interested in seeing when it was going to be scheduled, because it would give maybe a window into what the schedule makers thought would be a possible suspension for none other than Deshaun Watson, is when are they going to schedule the Browns at the Texans? When is that going to happen? And sure enough, Browns are at the Texans in week 13. Week 13. And thus, if, let's just say he gets suspended for 10 games, he's back for it. You could sit there and say, well, if he suspended 12 games, he would be back for it. But there's a bye in the middle of it. He would miss it.
You have an 8-game suspension, right?
He's back or whatever. So they placed it late in the season. And another interesting aspect of it is they put it as a 1 o'clock straight up Eastern game right in the middle of an afternoon of a whole bunch of other games. There's no prime time aspect of it. And I think we can all guess why. Nobody really wants a piece of talking about Deshaun Watson right now.
The lead up to that for a whole day.
But let's just say it's a 6-game suspension. Let's just throw that out there. Okay.
Sure.
We don't want to put that Brown schedule up one more time, if you don't mind, Mike Hoskins. So these are the games that the Browns would be with Jacoby Brissett at the controls. At Carolina, home for the Jets. You only have one division game. It's home against Pittsburgh. That's a Thursday nighter. So you're going to have the Steelers on the road in a short week, although, as you might imagine, it's not a very long trip for them. At Atlanta, home for the Chargers, and then home for New England, a little Jacoby Brissett versus one of his former teams. That would be six. I mean, that's We have no idea how good anybody's going to be, but that seems doable, for the lack of a better phrase, without Deshaun Watson and Jacoby Brissett. You can win some of those football games if you're the Cleveland
Browns.
You can win
a few of those, yeah.
But the team that was playing defense for Baker Mayfield in the first 6 weeks of last season better show up.
Yeah.
I mean, better tighten up, let's put it that way. Because I think Baker's getting a raw deal in many different ways, and they would have won that game against Kansas City if they played a little bit of defense in week one last year. Don't forget that. Another team that is of interest to me, based on a suspension, is one that we know will be without their top wide receiver and one of the best in the game, DeAndre Hopkins, has been suspended for the first six games of the 2022 season. And so now we know which games the Cardinals are going to be playing without him. And I'll tell you what, I mean, first of all, when you're playing in the NFC West, it's tough sledding anyway, and you're playing the AFC West this year too. My gosh, their first six games without this, so no DeAndre Hopkins, and you know it's a much different team without DeAndre Hopkins in this offense, or at least it has been historically with Hopkins being on the team. They start off home against Kansas City, then they go to Vegas, then they're home for the Rams. They fly all the way across the country to Carolina. That is a week four game for Arizona. Let me just check on that, if you don't mind bearing with me as I'm thumbing through my guide here. Keep that up on the screen if you don't mind. That is the, at least for them, it's a late window game. So it's not one of those one Eastern West Coast team things. So you got to pay attention to that sort of stuff.
Yep.
Home for Philadelphia, then at Seattle.
I mean,
those are the six.
2-4?
Now
maybe?
You could sit there, that's tough. That's real tough. You could sit there and say that's real tough, but then you look at the rest of their schedule, period.
They have a hard schedule. Yeah, hard.
Well, all the NFC West teams are at the top of the strength of schedule. The strongest strength, schedule that you've got to go against, in the same way that all the NFC East teams are sitting atop the best, least strength of schedule.
And then they play the AFC West.
That's tough, brother. And as I've mentioned, Arizona has had a problem finishing strong. But at least for them, they've still been in the race finishing slow because of their fast starts. And this is going to be a very tricky season. Another reason why Kyler wants to get paid before they even touch a football in training camp. Because without Hopkins in those first six games, and then their difficulty in finishing games, that's the recipe for Kyler to wind up on a couch with a dog looking for a belly scratch. Even though, and certainly if he gets hurt and he's playing hurt or he's missing some games and Colt McCoy comes in and wins 2 of 3, I think it's going to get done. You heard Steve Kime saying, we're not trading him. You're going to be out of your mind. We're not trading him. So just to, now that you see the schedule, putting things together between your off-season stories and your now regular season schedule and how it may work out. Okay, ready for what's more likely here on the Rich Eisen Show?
Man,
I'm assuming this is going to be great because you've been sitting on this for days, Chris.
Weeks. We haven't done it in weeks.
Is that true? I don't think so.
We did it last week. We didn't last week or the week before.
Well, last week we weren't here.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Let's go.
Our bye week's over. Let's see if we can hit it.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
Thank you very much, Coach Tomlin.
So I've got a bunch of NFL schedule-related ones, okay? A couple basketball and then some golf, all right? Ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What's more likely, Rich, in 2022 NFL season, someone goes winless or undefeated?
Give that to me again.
What's more likely, the 2022 NFL season coming up in a matter of 4 months, that someone goes winless or a team goes undefeated?
I'll go winless.
That team might be. You picked the Jaguars for this graphic? Wow.
Well, I mean, the reason why it's been chosen is their back-to-back overall, number one overall selected teams. I'm just defending Sean Mitchell, who's probably the one to put that together. Somebody's got to be put up there. Look, man.
I mean, Seattle.
Here's why I'm
Houston?
Saying. Here's why I'm saying it is because, well, you can't. You ask me what's more likely, and I'll say it's more likely somebody goes winless than undefeated. And I'll just repeat again: there are 13 teams that have 5 primetime games, and there are a ton of AFC teams that are really going to be beating the crap out of some NFC teams when they do some cross conference games. I would peg somebody. I don't want to peg anybody,
no,
but
of course
I'll just
not.
Say
I'm
I'll just say that it's it, it this league has a very, very good chance of being top heavy.
I see.
And so I'll choose winless over perfect. That's why.
All right. What's more likely? Who more likely to return to the Super Bowl, Rams or Bengals?
Rams. I'll say Rams. Rams have a more talented roster than Bengals. I mean, it's a fact. And the Bengals, as you know, I sing their praises, and I love Joe Burrow, and I love what they've done in that offensive line to protect him, and I think that they're terrific. But, I mean, just talking to Sean McVay while you were away the other day, Chris, it's just – It was kind of stupid talking to him about, okay, Cooper Kupp. We didn't even get to Cooper Kupp till like minute 10 because we were too busy talking about, you know, his decision to maybe do something other than coaching. Sure. When I finally checked that box,
yep.
And then we started talking about his play calling in the Super Bowl, which led to the soundbite, clubhouse leader of soundbite of the year
that.
When I brought up the Cooper Kupp fourth down run call and that final drive. And he's like, that's some pretty big balls by me, Rich, huh? You know, and
he said it with his chest.
And once we got through that and talking about Aaron Donald, yeah. And I mentioned to him, like, if you could make an all-star team from the NFC West over the last 10 years, you know, you'd put Donald on that defensive line, Bobby Wagner in linebacking core, and Jalen Ramsey in the back end of the defense, and you've got all three on one team. And then he's just like, and then there's Leonard Floyd. And then we talk about that offensive line. Yeah, there's no Whitworth, but, you know, they've got Allen Robinson where he is.
That's true.
And Kupp and Van Jefferson and Cam Akers coming off of being back and Matthew Stafford and so on and so on and so on. It's stupid how set the Rams are to repeat, and that's why I'm going with them here in this conversation. You know, and Allen Robinson, it was funny last night, Mooch with Matthew Stafford on the set to start the schedule release show. They talked about Allen Robinson because Irv brought him up like he's a dog. He goes, "Well, you got Kupp there, and you got other guys. Like, are you going to be concerned about splitting
yeah.
up the footballs?" And I interrupted. I'm like, "What are you talking about? Allen Robinson gets 2 throws. That's already one more than he's used to getting in a game."
Wow,
it's the truth.
Wow,
imagine what he's going to look like in this offense when he's fed like 5, 6, 7, 8 times. And then I asked McVay, is it possible Odell comes back? He's like, of course I want him back. That's why that's more likely in my mind.
All right, sticking in the NFC West, okay? NFC West playoff team most likely to miss the playoffs, Cardinals or 49ers? They're both not going to make it again. You know, statistically speaking, one of them's going to be out if you think the Rams are most likely to repeat.
I've got to go with the team that's not going to have their top wide receiver for 6 games. That's it. And Debo, you know, I'm telling you, he's coming back. And I understand why our top-notch production crew put Kyler on one side and on the other side put Trey Lance, because everybody thinks Trey Lance is going to suck. And that's why they got to hold on to Jimmy Garoppolo. Or Jimmy's still there because they're hedging their bets on Lance not being good. And what's Lance going to look like? Hold your horses. Hold your horses. So if I had to choose one team that would miss it, it would be one team that's not going to have their wide receiver for 6 games, their top wide receiver for 6 games. And I'll take the team that almost went to the Super Bowl 2 out of the last 3 years.
All right.
Is what I'll say, knowing that both teams are incredibly talented. You have forced me. That's why it's called What's More Likely. I'll take that.
Let's stay out west. Same question. AFC West. AFC West playoff team from last year. most likely to miss the playoffs? Chiefs or Raiders?
Oh, come on, Chris.
Everyone thinks Denver is this Super Bowl contending team. So let's put Denver in, and one of these teams has to miss it.
I'm not putting Denver in, and I'm taking both.
You got to choose what's more likely. Miss the playoffs.
Of course, I think
Chiefs,
the Chiefs are
or
making
Raiders.
The playoffs. Come on, of course you think. But if I had to choose, of course I'll take the Kansas City Chiefs because of Mahomes.
To miss it or
but
make
I already told you that I think the Raiders are going to win the division.
Then you think the Chiefs are going to miss the playoffs.
No, they're not going to miss it because they're better than the Broncos.
Are they?
Yes. 1,000,000% yes. 1,000%
A million
yes.
percent yes.
Absolutely. Yes. I reject that what's
more likely. Let's clip this off. Let's clip this off
that
May 13th.
What's more likely on its premise.
All right, then you're not going to like this question.
Great setup.
What's more likely? Quarterback in a new spot to win more games in 2022. Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan.
I'll go Matt Ryan.
Win more games?
Yeah. I'll go Matt Ryan. Oh, yeah.
You're not feeling Denver, huh?
I need to see it. I need to see it. I love Russ, but it's not just add Russ. I don't think it's just add Russ. New coach, new quarterback, new situation. That's why it's a window for Russell Wilson. It's not a year for Russell Wilson. It's not like he's Tom Brady where you don't know how much time he's got left. And you think it's probably going to wind up being longer than you think until, you know, Tom gets $375 million Murdoch dollars.
Can you believe that happened, by the way?
So, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I think just add Matt will wind up with more wins than just add Russ. They've got a better running situation in Indianapolis. They've got two tall wide receivers there in Indianapolis and Pierce and Pittman. And I know, you know, that Denver has some talented players and just add Russ. They've gone from let Russ cook to just add Russ in Denver. And I just need to see it first. I would be pleasantly surprised. It's not like I'm slagging on him. I'm just saying I need to see it.
Broncos fans.
That's it.
All right, NBA, big ball night tonight, guys. We got a pair of game sixes. Huge. I don't even know. I mean, I'm already stressed. What's more likely? We get a Bucks-Celtics game 7 or a Warriors-Grizz game 7?
Oh, I'll go Warriors-Grizz game 7. Sorry,
ooh.
Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm concerned about my Warriors. They have gotten out of sync. They've gotten out of joint. You know, Mike Brown is they're being coached by the next coach of the Sacramento Kings.
And as of right now.
Has a coach ever been fired because of
before?
Because of poor interim coaching performances for the team that needs him real fast sure. because of a pandemic?
We changed our minds on this.
Yeah, that's what I'll go with. That's what I'll go with. I'll go with that one. Yeah. What else?
TJ, this is for you. Okay. I apologize in advance.
Well, I mean, come on, bro.
More likely to be back with the Sixers next season, Doc or James Harden?
I think it's Harden.
I think it's both.
That's not the answer. That's not the question.
Likely?
What's more likely?
I think it's Harden.
I mean, I can't say both, then I guess Harden.
I think it's Harden.
Yeah. Wow.
I still say both, though.
I hope it's both.
Yeah. I'd like to see him run it back. Because who are you going to do? Put Mike D'Antoni? Are you going to make him the coach of the Sixers? So now what? We play no defense and we try to score 170 points a game?
Like, that sounds pretty fun.
At this point last year, how many people had heard of Ime Udoka?
Nobody.
I'm just saying.
I knew his wife.
I mean, how about...
Shout out Nia Long.
Shout out Nia Long. Yeah,
you know,
I gotta love Jones.
Are you, you know, like who had heard of Nick Nurse the year before the?
Yeah,
the,
true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, true.
There is talent out there. You're right. I just like to see
who knows who would have heard of Coach Bud other than anybody who was around the Spurs, right?
True.
Atlanta, right? So
Coach Bud.
I don't know.
And Taylor Jenkins, same.
So I will say Harden is more likely to be back there. Right.
All right, last one. Last one, guys.
Oh, you got one more.
Wait.
Yeah, one more.
Oh,
All right, we'll get one more.
Thank you, George.
PGA Championship next week at Southern Hills. Tiger and Phil on the players list right now to compete. Scheduled to compete. We haven't seen Phil in a few months, obviously. More likely to make the cut next week at the PGA, Tiger or Phil?
So it's next week. We're doing this in advance.
Well, because you know, Friday we'll already have an idea of like who's going to make the cut, so we're doing it in advance.
I'll go Tiger.
Phil, you're defending PGA champion.
No, I got it. I hear you. I'll go Tiger.
All right.
I'll go Tiger.
Hopefully they're both out there. We still have not heard from Phil in months.
I'm very excited about Tiger, and plus Tiger's not sports washing, so that's why I'll go with Tiger. Good. What's more likely, Christopher?
Hey,
I like
nice
it. Good to be I back. Like it. I like it. That was good. TJ Jefferson's big ass grab bag to play us out on this Friday. 844-204-RICH. We'll sneak in a call or two before we go, too. Don't go anywhere. Back with the Friday finale in a moment. Back here on our terrestrial radio network talking about me going to Taylor Lewan on Twitter. But I just, I hit send. It was one of those, and I kind of
did you go? Bad.
But also then I hit send, and I'm like, he understands that I've been after him. Like literally, he was
for years.
He was on our set at the draft in Tennessee, which is now what, 3 years ago, right?
Yeah, that was 2019.
Right. When he was on the set there, and he was just starting bussing with the boys. I think it was just him too, right?
What was the other guy's name again?
A city down
so
the street,
you know,
right?
Those are my two bits. My two bits about right. Bussing with the boys. From the very beginning, he's just like, so I'm going to get this bus, and we're going to have a podcast. And I'm like, so, oh, cool. So he's like, and he asked me to come on. I'm like, so when you're in Los Angeles, come and have me on the show. I'm more than happy to do it. Yeah, the bus doesn't move. There's no motor in it. I'm like, so why are you calling it what you're calling? Like, what's the deal with the bus? Like, and I just... I'll come on your show when your bus is a motor in it.
When the bus moves.
Right. So I've been saying that for years.
Years.
And the
years.
Other years. Bit that's the other bit game. Is I act like I don't know.
Just Will Compton's name. Oh, Will Compton. Yeah, right. Will Compton.
So those are the two bits. Like I even just did the bit here. Looking out for my, I know it's
we only
Will.
Roast the ones we okay. love, Will.
And so I send that out yesterday, and
the boys probably came after you hard.
Compton's like, holy S, Rich. Yeah. And then a bunch of people think I'm like going, I got all these top rope memes and stuff like that.
We're all friends. We're just having fun.
So I just want to say this to all those who have been coming at me. And even Susie's like, when I got out of work last night, out of the scheduled release show, I'm driving home. She's like, what happened on Twitter today?
Oh,
geez. And I'm like, what do you mean what happened on Twitter today? She's like, all these people think that you're angry. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, what are you talking about? And so it was my tweet to Taylor Lewan, which I think has gotten liked quite a bit. You know, I don't do things for the click.
I'm scrolling
but,
down.
But so a lot like Chris Law, like a bunch of people were tweeting. And I just want to say this to all the Bussin' with the Boys fans and folks. I love Taylor Lewan. And I'm so excited about his success and his show. And I'm so excited for his success along with what's his name?
Inglewood.
And
Joe Inglewood.
And so it was all just like that was the genesis of it. Okay.
12,000 likes on that so far.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it was a finely crafted tweet.
Yeah, it was.
It's just window dressing for content. That's it. Which is the game that they're not only in, but being very successful being
yeah
in.
They're doing great but so, get a motor seriously
so we're cool as far as I'm concerned we're cool get a motor in that bus what are you doing okay TJ's big ass grab bag we're gonna have you
maybe we'll do it next week or something
you sure
yeah it's all
okay
good.
All right don't blame me for this.
I am not blaming anybody.
Blame
this is my team's news.
Here. Blame your team for making news.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
A friend of the program, Daryl Morey, with some good news about friend of the program, Doc Rivers. Daryl Morey has said, just coming right out, just tamping it down, putting out all the rumors.
Yeah, putting it to bed.
Saying Doc Rivers not getting fired. He will be back as coach next season. So you said... Earlier in the program, you said earlier in the program, TJ, just 24 games. That's it. It was just 24 games. Harden on in Philadelphia. And let's give it more time.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
24 games not counting the playoffs.
I'm not paying Harden the max though. I'm not maxing him out,
baby.
I'm not maxing him out. I'm just wondering, is he going to be cool not getting maxed out? Is he going to be cool just playing on a 1 year?
You know? Well, he's got a player option next year for like 47
million. Yeah, he's getting 47.4 next year.
And then afterwards, we'll see. Yeah. What do you want to do, a 2+1 with him or something?
You might have to.
You might have to.
Give him 80 for two with a team option for a third year, or maybe something like that.
If anybody could figure it out, it's Daryl Morey. Yeah,
I tell you, it's not the guys who aren't good at math sitting here, so I don't know.
I mean, 660 in my math.
The question is how are you going to get more? How are you going to get more reinforcements?
That's the issue, Rich, because that bench is depleted. And Brockman, you know, I told you I hated losing Seth Curry.
Yes,
in that deal.
Losing him was huge.
That was huge. I really don't know. You're going to need some guys to step up. But I'm really excited, man, to watch the development of Maxey. Like, I think this kid's going to be special. And
I think he already is, right? I mean, he's just learning.
He's just learning. You know, he had his moments. He kind of, some of these games, he kind of disappeared in. But next year, and just the future for this kid is bright. And I'm looking forward to it.
So are you fine with Doc being back?
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of Sixers fans are not.
I get that. I understand. And, you know, I'm of the belief, right, that coaching only does so much. Because I checked the tape yesterday because I didn't watch it originally because I was at Cheesecake Factory. So I watched the recording. I didn't see Doc Rivers miss a jumper or throw a pass away. Or
did you say that when the Clippers went out?
That was a different situation.
How is it a different situation?
Because I was truly, because we were up 3-1 and we were the better team there for sure.
Right, but those guys, those guys missed shots too, didn't they?
Yeah, but that's a collapse. Rich, look, the Heat were the top seed. They were the better team all season. That's what people are kind of not giving them props.
Okay.
We're basically saying how the Sixers lost instead of the job that the Heat did to win. They were the better team. They were the one seed. They should have won this series. I mean, am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
I don't think they should have won the series the minute Embiid was hurt.
Yeah, then your best player breaks his face.
Hey, man, we're focusing on the team in the Northeast that has famous players and a famous coach and didn't meet certain level of expectation, even though Doc said there weren't any. And once again, we're talking about a trade that didn't work out for clearly yet both teams instead of the team that advanced. And Heat's a pretty damn good team.
They are. Got to give them props. And like I said earlier, Spoelstra doesn't get – his name never comes up when you talk about the – like you just named a bunch of coaches a few minutes ago. Eric Spoelstra's name wasn't one of them. And that guy deserves his flowers.
And I just got to say this, Chris, and this is no anti-Celtic bias at all. Because you know my youngest son is a diehard Celtic fan.
Yes.
It would make Coop very happy
to
have the Celtics win.
Might be what I love most about your son.
This reeks of anti-Celtic bias.
I want the Bucks to play the Heat, and I want the Heat to beat the Bucks. So my take that the Heat should not have broken their team up for Giannis. It still has life, guys.
Even though
I have fully admitted it, I've already said it's the worst take I've ever had.
So then it's it. You put it to bed.
But it's not yet irredeemable, which you never want to say about your takes.
True that.
Okay? I'm just saying, there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance right here. Heat Bucks. If the Heat beat the Bucks with this team that they did not break up for Giannis to take on the Warriors and the Warriors win it all, oh my God. It's all laid out, guys.
We're asking
guys,
a lot now.
It's all laid out.
And he got mad when I called him an NBA guy. You know what I mean,
Chris? Excuse me.
We are asking
a lot. Excuse me. Excuse me. Already got one in the case, fantasy. Right?
So we go.
So I'm saying the triple Lindy, as we're talking right now, guys, is possible. It's in the ether.
Brockman, you should have just taken Friday off.
Bucks in the East, Warriors advance in the West, Warriors beat.
Why did I come back today?
The Heat that have beaten the Bucks with a team they didn't break up for Giannis.
Oh, man.
Oh, Why did it take me all this time to put it together like this?
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yes, sir.
Yeah!
That's me.
You're not a math guy, so it took a while.
It did.
To connect the dots. Yeah.
I'm just too busy for the Yankees being 23-8.
I get that. You know, thank
what's,
goodness
what's
for
today's
the Mets.
Date again?
That's March or May the 13th, Friday.
What's a larger number? Tom Brady's uniform or the games back the Red Sox are from the Yankees?
Oh, good question.
Man, that is a good question. I know Brady's number is 12.
We're 12 back in the win column.
And Brady's number is 12.
Mm.
So we're 12 and a half back because we have 19 left.
There you go.
Yeah,
great. The Mets have 22 wins and the best player in baseball hasn't even taken the field yet.
I saw a stat that there's like four teams that are on pace to win 100 and four teams that are on pace to lose 100. Red Sox are one of the pace to lose 100.
There are some good teams in baseball right now, guys.
If there was relegation, the Reds would be.
By the way, they've won 5 out of 7.
Look at them.
Yeah.
Look at them.
But they still only have 8. They're like Kobe right now. They're 8-24.
I mean, law of averages. They're going to win some games.
Right.
Yeah, Chris, as you know, baseball is all about the law of averages, right?
We should call the Reds the Mambas.
All right. Well, our exit velocity is about to increase because we're done.
Great
thanks
week,
to
guys.
Mooch, Patrick Queen, and Brett Veach, and you